Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Tonight, the night that the Lord has us back on there, and tonight we have a man of God with us, Jason. Can you speak to the people tonight, Jason?
Good evening, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed.
It's good to hear your voice again another week. Good to hear your voice.
Yes.
Amen.
Well,
amen. Again, good evening, and I just want to say grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, to all those who have blessed and had the opportunity to be with us today to fellowship in His Word. And we just know that God is going to bring forth a mighty Word for us this evening as we fellowship today. I want to open with some scripture as always. I'm going to open with Psalm 32, verse 1 through 2. Psalm 32, verse 1 through 2. And it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit." Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this psalm was written by David, and it was written at a time when, right after, if we been able to count in our Bibles, time after the prophet Nathan was sent to David, and he exposed David's sin with Bathsheba, and also his plot that he went forth in to have her husband Uriah murdered. So David had committed this sin, and the Lord waited for a period of time, but then sent his prophet to expose this, which we all know led David. He was convicted, had conviction of his sin, and confessed this thing openly to God. And like David, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, my Bible says that our transgressions are forgiven and washed away by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So when we accept Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we are redeemed. We are redeemed. He has taken our sin to the cross, and he became sin for us so that we may have life and reconciliation to our Heavenly Father. So we know and we're confident because the Word says that we have received forgiveness for our sins. Okay? Now, as we receive forgiveness for our sins, there's a second part of that requirement for us. God forgives us, so we need to remember that we are also called to forgive others. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
And we are required to forgive others. And one thing that I observe as I've had my chance to fellowship with many different ministries and many different parts of the body and have a chance to talk to various pastors about some of the things that they have to deal with and the ministry that they have to do, is while there are many struggles from the sheep within the body of Christ, there are two primary areas that are hindering our fellowship with God. One area is disobedience to the Holy Spirit. That's one area that's hindering fellowship with God. But there's another area, the second part I want to talk mostly about tonight that the Lord has given me to speak about, and it's unforgiving hearts. Unforgiving. We have a lot of people that's in the body of Christ that they love Jesus, they're trying to serve him, but because they have unforgiveness in their hearts, for whether it's for anyone, whether it's family members, coworkers, whatever the case may be, it is hindering their fellowship with God, and they're not having victory in situations and having that abundance in Christ. So So we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of forgiveness. God forgave us. You know, we know the scripture that we're supposed to give others, but we're going to dig a little deep into the scriptures and talk about the importance of forgiveness. And we're going to focus in three primary areas. Number one, we're going to talk a little bit about how, just like David, God has rescued us from our sins. Okay? The second portion we're going to talk a little bit about is understanding that without God's forgiveness, we could not stand before him at all. We could not stand before him at all. So we need to remember that. Also, we're going to get a little bit into why it's important for us to forgive. Why it's important for us to forgive. The first two points really set the foundation for us to understand that why God has rescued us and the fact that if he did not send his son, that we may have our sins forgiven. We couldn't stand before him with our own righteousness before. So we're going to start with the first portion. We're going to go through the scripture to Colossians. We're going to talk about God rescued us from sin and our transgressions have been forgiven. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." The forgiveness of sins. "In whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." So what we're seeing here is many places in the New Testament especially talks about the redemptive power of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. But this is just one of the examples that Apostle Paul is stating here in Colossians, where he is saying that, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness," in other words, from ourselves, okay, and from the works of the devil. And through Jesus Christ, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So God has forgiven us through his son, Jesus Christ, and we have redemption of sin. And we tie this back to what, and we're blessed. And we tie this back to what David said in Psalm 32, verse 1, when he says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." So when God has forgiven our sins, he has blessed us, is what he has done. And we need to remember that we're blessed. He's forgiven our sins. Okay? Another thing we need to remember is as we recognize that our sins are forgiven and we begin to mimic that forgiveness by forgiving others, you know, sometimes we can tend to believe that the person that has offended us, the person that we need to forgive, that somehow whatever wickedness, whatever offense they committed to us, that they are not worthy of our forgiveness. But we sometimes, as we remember that God has forgiven us, we also need to remember that we too are sinners. That we too are sinners. Very popular verse, Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20-24, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." See, we're all justified. So we need to remember that even though someone may have offended us, someone may have done something that we find it very difficult to forgive, we need to remember we fall short just as they do. We fall short just as they do. Amen. So without the forgiveness of God, forgiveness demonstrated on the cross, again, we could not stand before God. We would not be able to stand before him. And that's what we talked about before. And, you know, the Bible tells us that our own righteousness aside from Jesus Christ is but filthy rags before the Lord. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, what we're accepting is Jesus' righteousness on us as we stand before the Father. So we need to remember that Jesus forgave, that we were forgiven by Jesus Christ. We were forgiven by the sacrifice that he made. And because of that, we could stand. But without that, whether that's the one offended or not, we could not stand before Christ and have any righteousness that we need for ourselves on us. And so we just need to remember that we couldn't stand for it. And, again, when we struggle to forgive someone, we need to remember without Christ, God also considers no one righteous before him. None of us is righteous before him without the covering of Jesus Christ, without his righteousness put on us. Paul says again in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, he says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And so the point that we need to remember is the fact that when we get to that place where we're struggling to forgive someone else, we remember that God sees us the same way they see the person we're going to forgive. Because, see, the Bible tells me that God is not a respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. If you are a child of God, just like I may be a child of God. And so many times what we don't realize we're doing is when we refuse to forgive someone, what we're also doing is we're elevating ourselves above that person. That somehow they are not worthy of our righteousness, and we are more righteous than them, and we don't have to forgive them because they're not worthy to get the righteousness from us. They're not worthy of being forgiven. And God is saying to us that we're all children of God, and that because he has forgiven us, we should forgive them no matter what they have done. Amen? Amen. And so the last portion I'm going to talk a little bit about is why is it important for us to forgive? We've talked about what God has done for us. We've talked about the fact that without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we don't have Jesus' righteousness. We can't even stand before God, and none of us can. So we're going to talk about why is it so important for us to forgive? What are the effects? Is really the real question. What are the effects of walking with an unforgiving heart on? What are the effects of that? And we're going to hit that again in three areas. Number one of the primary effects of walking in unforgiveness is it hinders our fellowship with God. Did you hear that? One of the number one effects of walking with unforgiveness on our hearts is that it hinders our fellowship with God. Mark 11:25. Jesus says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sin. Matthew chapter 5:23-24. It says, therefore, if you are offering a gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. In other words, when we, as believers, we're praying, we're in fellowship with God, we're at the throne of God. When we're worshiping him, we put ourselves at his throne. And when we come to his throne, it's not just important that we come and we ask him that we need stuff, and God wants to do those things. But when we come before God, our hearts must be transparent to him, and we must have the right heart with God. And it's not only important to God that we have the right relationship with him, but that we also have the right relationship with our brothers and sisters around us. And see, what people don't want to say and don't understand sometimes is that your relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters reflects your relationship with God. It reflects your relationship with God. So if you have people out there that have a board in the body of Christ, don't want to come to church, don't want to fellowship with their brothers, and they're out of fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ, that also reflects their relationship with God. So God stresses it's not only important that we have the right relationship with him, but he wants to make sure we have the right relationship with others. And if there's unforgiveness, because, the Bible tells us that offenses are going to come. We live long enough, you and I not only are going to be offended by people, but we also, because we're not perfect, we're going to offend others. So there's going to be times where we need to forgive, and there's going to be times where we need to ask for forgiveness. Because, again, when we stand before the Father, that helps us put us in the right posture, heart-wise, before God. So we remember that, you know, whether or not we're offering, we're at the throne, we're offering the gift of praise and worship to God, or whether or not we're offering the gift of intercessory prayer to someone else, or whether we're offering the gift of confession, that we're confessing to God things that are going on in our lives, we must remember that in order for that fellowship to not be hindered, we also must make sure that we don't have unforgiveness on our hearts. This also goes for, and I'm going to speak specifically to men that are married. You know, if marriage sometimes isn't a hotbed for offenses, I don't know what it is sometimes. You get married long enough, and some of y'all out there that have been married for a long time, well, have you been married long enough, there's going to be some offenses between husband and wife. Okay? And so, but God is always dealing with making sure, especially the man in the household, that he is doing the things he needs to do to make sure that he is loving his wife and being considerate of his wife, and making sure that if there's some offenses, that we forgive our wives and whatnot, make sure our hearts are right with the person that God made us one flesh with, so that way that we don't hinder our fellowship with God. I love how Peter puts it. He says in 1 Peter 3:7, he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with the respect as the weaker partner, and heirs with you along with the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let's read that one more time. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with the respect as a weaker partner, and heirs with you with the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So you see here again, God is dealing with relationships. See, our relationships need to be right with people so they can also be right with God. Amen. And so this is the marriage is a whole other sermon, and I'm not even going to get into that today, but I just wanted to touch on that a little bit, that, again, unforgiveness hinders our fellowship with God. And when we hold on to unforgiveness, what we're really doing is we're nurturing the seeds of hate, discord, bitterness, rage, and malice is what we're doing. I have seen it in some of my, whether it's my friends, family life, I've seen it in my own family at times, my wife's family, where there have been offenses just within the family. And because there has been unforgiveness, those seeds, things, they'll go away. They get worse. And what happened was started to be an initial offense turned into anger. Then anger turned into bitterness. And then bitterness turned into rage. And we've seen these things kind of go on. And so it's not just so we can have our be in the right posture before God. It also because he sees that if we hold on forgiveness, that we're walking toward a very destructive situation in our lives before him. So number one is one of the effects of walking in unforgiveness is it hinders our fellowship with God. Number two, when we walk in unforgiveness and have it in our heart, we grieve God. Amen. We grieve God when we walk in unforgiveness. Because, again, let's go back to the beginning. He has forgiven us, and because we've been forgiven, we're blessed. And so God says to forgive other people. Again, Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. I just love how Apostle Paul mentioned some of these fruits we just talked about that can come from the lack and the failure to forgive people in our lives. Forgive people in our lives. So remember, number two, we grieve God when we don't forgive. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't forgive. And again, Apostle Paul is saying here that we need to get rid of all the bitterness and rage and anger. And the way we do that, one of those first steps is forgive each other. And he didn't just say forgive each other. He said, as Christ God forgave you. Amen. So that's the standard. That's the standard. Last point on what are the effects of an unforgiving heart? The last tells me that God will not forgive us. That's what it says. Now, we just talked about that a little bit. We touched on it in Mark 11:25, where Jesus says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Okay? But I think in the gospel, there's one parable that Jesus tells that really drives this point home, really drives this point home. And I'm going by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to read this parable on the air. I'm going to read this parable. If you turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and I'm going to read the parable of the unmerciful servant, verses 21 through 35. And it reads, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison and said he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers and said he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to you, to each of you, from his heart, if does not forgive his brother who trespasses. You see, forgiveness is about mercy. It's about mercy. You see, the Bible tells us that we are due. The wages of sin is death. And we were due the penalty of death. But God loves us. He showed mercy and he sent his only son because he loved us so that we didn't have to suffer that death, but we may have life and be reconciled to him. He forgave us. He forgave us. And so when we get to those times in our life, because sometimes some offenses are very difficult to forgive because the wound stays open, or maybe the person that offended you continues to offend. They continue to pour salt in the wound. So it seems like just when you're getting ready to forgive, you get around that person, you get yourself right with God, and all of a sudden it's something else. And you just feel like that wound opened up again. And when it opened up again, if you ever had a physical wound that's opened up again, it almost feels worse than the initial wound. And sometimes we can feel that way spiritually. But one thing I've learned is that God is merciful, and he expects us to exercise the same mercy, which is love, for others. So we need to remember in closing that forgiveness for others is not a recommendation. It's not a recommendation, but it is a requirement. It is commanded from God that we forgive others. And it's talked about time and time and time again by the apostles throughout the Bible and through all the gospels and the teachings of Jesus Christ. We need to remember, again, there is no exception for not forgiveness. None of provided in Scripture. There is no where, you know, they did this, and so I just don't, I think God understands. No, no, there are no exceptions. That in every case, we ought to forgive. And why do God call us to forgive? It's because there are no offenses that can ever occur in our life that are greater than our sins before God. Greater than our sins before God. And there's no offense greater than what his son suffered, what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, suffered on the cross when he committed no sin, but he loved us enough to go and be sin for us so that we could have forgiveness. And because what God is love and he committed this act of love for us, then the key is what he's really asking us to do is to love one another. God loves us unconditionally, and he's asking us to do the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So
amen.
That's the close of our short lesson on forgiveness. If anyone has any questions or comments or alibis, I'm here to listen.
Anybody got any questions?
First thing is that God is good, and he's good all the time, and his mercy and his grace that is extended to us, I just thank him, too, for forgiveness and love, because he first loved us. And so with that being said, we need to learn how to love each other. In addition to that, you're talking about forgiveness, and I tell you, the greatest forgiveness that has ever been done in this life is when God sent his son to forgive us for our sins. And so
amen.
I am just grateful that you're speaking on forgiveness, because I can attest to the fact that sometimes Christians are the people that forgive the less. And so as
amen.
Christians, we ought to have a loving heart and a forgiving spirit. But
amen.
We are so vindictive sometimes. I mean, the Christian race in whole, I'm not signifying anyone in particular. I'm just saying that we that say that we love the Lord and we have called according to his purpose, but yet and still, we don't want to sit next to our brother or sit next
amen.
To our sister or deal with somebody that's in a less fortunate state than we are in. Oh, they smell. Well, what can you do about their smell? I mean, we should not have respected person. And I heard you mention that. God has no respected person, and we should not also. We are to exemplify Christ. And Christ reached out to the, let's say, he reached out to those, as he say in Scripture, to those that had no need of a physician.
Amen.
They thought they did. They thought they didn't, but they do. And so even in Matthew, when he talks about forgiving, he said that first he asked for forgiveness for himself, but then he does have to go to his brother. If you know that you have offended somebody, take your offering,
amen.
Stick it in your pocket, go and get it right between you and your brother so that
amen.
Your offering will be an honor to God and not a distaste. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, because
amen.
Even though he messed up, and he did big time, he had the awareness to ask for forgiveness, and it was so serious with him that he said, look, basically beat me with hyssop, you know, but whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me. You know.
Amen.
So David knew who God was. He had relationship. He knew. And he did not want that relationship severed because of anything that he done. And he did not want to bring dishonor to God, although he did. Anybody that knew what he did knew that he did. So all he came clean. And that's what a lot of us don't want to do. We don't want to come clean. You need to understand God knows everything. He sees everything. He's everywhere at the same time. He knows. We can't hide anything. So do we need the prophet Nathan to come to us? No. We have the Holy Spirit now. It should convict you. It should convict you when you're doing wrong. And then you should have the awareness to say, God, I have sinned against you and man. But mostly that I have sinned against you, my Heavenly Father. And I don't want Jesus' blood to be shed and to be of none effect because I continue to walk in my ways and my statutes instead of God's statutes. And so we just need a rude awakening. As Paul said, let our minds be transformed. Transformed to have a Christ-like mind, not a selfish mind. It's not about me, but it's about loving. Loving as God loved. So thank you for that message. I enjoyed it.
Amen.
Amen.
Any more questions? Any more questions? Does anybody have any questions or statements?
Let's see here. I am without my glasses, but I won't complain. When I got on the line this evening, as I was walking around, I'm a senior citizen, but that's not anything. I thank God for being a senior citizen. But I had set my Bible down, and I ran around, and I could not find it. I went out to my car. I could not find it. And lo and behold, it was right there. So I had looked over it. And I said, you know, sometimes the enemy does not want you to speak up for God. He does not want you to have an ear where you can hear what thus saying the Lord. And in your message about forgiveness, you know, that is so important. And I'm reminded of Jesus' word, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. And so I know that when he died for me, he knew what I did. I mean, because he is the only wise God in the person of Jesus Christ. And he came for us because the gap was broken. It's like the river. We can't cross over the river because it's too wide and it's too deep. And so that gap is humongous. But I thank God that Jesus Christ put a bridge over those obstacles. He put a bridge so that I can come across safely. He put a bridge that I could become all that he wants me to be in him, not in self. And so Jesus, he bridged that gap where we were separated from God. Now we have access. We don't need a priest to pray for us. We don't need rabbis. You know, the Bible says we can come boldly before his throne of grace and mercy. And we can ask for forgiveness. That's an awesome invitation for all of us to confess and ask for forgiveness, not being so sanctimonious, not because we carry this title or that title or no title. We are all one in the body of Christ. And Jesus built that bridge there also so that we could be one. And the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek nor all the rest of that. It's just one. So we need to stop thinking that we are better than the next one or we are more elevated than the next one because we have this title. Label me, if you must, a servant of the Most High. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm reminded that, and I tell most people that God wants us to have a not just a life in Him, but a life to the full in Him. And I am reminded many times when I do talk to people that to be a Christian, what it really means is to be Christ-like. Christ-like. So we believe what He believes. We talk as He would talk. We carry forth His ideals and what He stood for. And when people see us, they should see the love of Christ and not necessarily ourselves. And so I firmly believe that God is not only preparing us for our time here, but He is, when we accept salvation, God goes on to a life to prepare us to cross that bridge that you talked about to be with Him. And every one of us that earn our crowns to go be with Him, the Bible tells me that not only will we be covered and look like Him, but He will write His name on our foreheads, and we will be like Him. And so sometimes that is forgotten. Sometimes it's we're wrestling with this life, and we're wrestling with the many doctrines and different things around us, and we're wrestling with ourselves and all these different things. And, you know, and it's unforgiveness is such a big issue that we're dealing with in the body of Christ, that people are holding on to different things. But it does, I always tell people, yes, societies and cultures change. Yes, it does. But the word is unchanged, no matter what society, what culture has come about. God is unchanged. He is the same God then, today, and tomorrow. And He has the same expectation for those that have accepted His gift of salvation. And so I'm reminded constantly of that, and I see that we're, you know, in the midst of all these things, we have unforgiveness, but we have a lot of healing that needs to take place, a lot of hurt, but it doesn't change the fact that God has set a standard, and this is what He wants for us. And so that way we can be Christ-like, that way we, when people look at us, because you can say people are watching, where we can look like Him and not ourselves. You forget, we are, when we are saved, we are ambassadors of Christ, is what the Bible says. We're ambassadors of Christ. And sometimes we have to understand what an ambassador is. What an ambassador is, he goes out from his master, and he plants up a flag, and wherever his master sends him, he does not represent himself, but he plants the flag of the one who sent him. And when people see this person, this ambassador, for example, of the United States, when they attack, like the Benghazi situation, when they attack that post, they wasn't attacking the ambassador himself. They were attacking what he represents. It was attacking what he represented. And it's the same thing with us. When people are attacking us, when we represent Jesus and people see Christ, they're attacking Christ. They're not attacking us. But sometimes we can make it about us. Sometimes. But like I said, in order for us to be effective as being ambassadors, we have to have the fellowship with God. And to have fellowship with God, our hearts have to be open and transparent to God. And we'll get it wrong sometimes. But it doesn't change the fact that we serve a God that wants the best for us, and He wants us to exude the love and demonstrate the love that He's extended to us, the bridge that He gave us, to hold out our hands and give that same forgiveness to others unconditionally so that we can be seen and shown as His servant. Remember, the Bible says that we show people that we are children of the Father by how we love each other, how we love each other. And our forgiveness is a very big part of that. So that's my closing. But God bless you for what you just spoke there shortly ago.
Amen. Well, you know, one of the things I want to thank God for Jason, for taking time after ministering and answering questions. And since he's done what he's supposed to do, we have another man of God coming on. Dr. Newsom, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Dr. Hunter?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Say hello to the audience.
Hello, everyone.
Well, go ahead and teach, my brother.
Well, glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. Today I'll be coming out of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And the scripture says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary." The young people shall faint and be weary. "And the young men shall utterly fall or fail." Verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and faint not." The message God has given me for those who are listening all around the world is wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Now, in the Hebrew, that word wait is kavah. Kavah. That's the Hebrew word for wait. And it means to expect. It means to look for. To look for. You know, I like the things. I like divine health. I like houses. I like land. I like money. You know what? It's all right to wait for those things. I like those things. But what God wants us to look for, to wait upon, the scripture talks about waiting upon the Lord. You know what? I like seeing God in the things that he do. I like those things, but I don't like things more than Yahweh. I don't like more things more than Yeshua. I love the Lord. That's who we ought to be looking for. That's who we ought to be excited about seeing and looking for and searching for and expecting to see is the Lord, Yahweh. So that Hebrew word for wait is kavah, kavah, and it means to expect. It means to look for. You know what? We need to have our necks stuck out like a goose. Stressed out like a goose, looking for him. You know what? That reminds me of Moses. Moses, I tell you, he looked for Yahweh, and he expected to see Yahweh. He said, "Yahweh, let me see you. Let me see you." And then he passed by. Yahweh passed by, and the scripture says that Moses saw God Almighty, saw Yahweh's hinder part. You see, he was looking for. And I tell you, there are some things that take place when we wait upon the Lord. And I'm going to talk about three things that we get for when we wait upon the Lord. Number one, and I'm going to talk about each one of them. Number one, he said he'll renew your strength. Number two, he said that you'll mount up like an eagle, like eagles. In other words, he'll elevate you. He'll raise you up. And number three, he'll assist you. He assists you. He will assist you. Now, wait upon the Lord. That's the message. Wait upon the Lord. Wait is kavah in Hebrew, and it means to look for. This word stresses the straining of the mind in a certain direction with an expectant attitude. I expect to see God. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for him in the things that he do. It's not so much the things that really excite me. It's that I see God in the midst of the things that he do for me. I see him. He makes himself real to me. He's revealing himself to me in the things that he do for me. It's not the thing. It's not the things that really so much excite me. It's that I know God heard my prayer. He knew what I was praying to him about, and then he shows up. I see him. I see him in the things that he do for me. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. This is what the scripture is encouraging us to do, is to wait upon him, to look for him, to look for him. Paul said that I may know him, that I may know him. It's good. Like I say, the things are good, but our focus and our concentration should be looking for him. So that word wait is kavah in the Hebrew. It means to wait. It means to wait. And sometimes it stresses the straining of the mind. There's so much false doctrine out here. And so at times we have to strain our minds to keep focused on searching and looking for him. There's so much false teaching and false doctrine out here, I tell you. And so we have to stress. We have to stress with our minds to keep our minds in search of Yahweh, in search of him, in a certain direction with an expectant attitude. I expect to see him. I expect to see him. I expect to see Yahweh every day in something that he does. I expect to see him. And that's the type of, that's how God wants us to do. He wants us to be waiters. In the Hebrew, it's waiters. He wants us to be waiters. Kavah. And this would fall a forward look with assurance. You've got to be sure. I'm sure that I'm going to see him. I'm sure each day. If the scripture says that if we seek him, we shall find him. We shall find him if we seek him. So I'm assured of that. I'm assured that I'm going to see him today. I'm going to see him in something that he does. In my life, I'm going to see Yahweh. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon him. Number one, when you wait upon the Lord, the scripture says that he'll renew your strength. He'll renew your strength when you wait upon him. And I don't know about you. I need my strength renewed. It's depleted throughout the day, all of us, because we're not Yahweh. He never faints. He never gets tired. But we need our strength renewed. He shall renew your strength. In the Hebrew, change things for the better. He'll change you for the better. In the Hebrew, it means to sprout again as grass. To sprout again as grass. You know, the grass now is sort of brownish. It's sort of brownish. And you know what, but it's going to sprout green again. It's going to sprout up again in the springtime. It's going to sprout again. I might seem a little weak right now, but God's going to renew my strength. My strength will sprout again. And so when we wait upon the Lord, he promises that he'll renew our strength. Our strength will be renewed. Philippians 4:13 says that, the scripture says, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. You see, he comes and strengthens us. Thank God that we can gain new strength. Thank God. I might be a little feeble today, but thank God I have the opportunity to gain new strength. How can I gain new strength? By waiting upon the Lord. See, when you're waiting, when you're looking, expecting God to show up in your life, expecting him to move on your behalf, and you're just sure that he's going to move on your behalf, that's called waiting upon the Lord. Kavah. You're looking forward with the assurance. You have an expected attitude, an expected attitude. We need to wake up every day expecting for God to move on our behalf. Expecting for him to show us himself somewhere in our life. That's called waiting upon the Lord. Number one, and when you wait upon the Lord, he said, I'll renew your strength. Look at verse 31. Verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not might. He's not going to think about renewing your strength. If you're waiting upon him, if you're looking for him, assured that you're going to see him, expecting him to move on your behalf, you're straining. It's like a racer. You know how a racer in a race, when they get to that pace, Dr. Hunter, what do? They stretch out. They strain to hit that pace. Thought about it? They strain. They stretch out. Some of them even dive. I've seen a person dive for the tape before. They're straining. And so we need to be straining through all the mess that's out here today. We need to be straining throughout all the opposition that Satan throw our way. We need to be straining our mind forward with an expectant attitude to see him, to see Yahweh move in our life, show up in our life. Glory to God. We're not here by ourselves. We're not here to make it on our own. You know what? The very name Yeshua means he will deliver. Yeshua. It means in the Hebrew, he will deliver. That's what he comes to do, to deliver us. He wants to do something in our life. And he wants us to wait upon him. Those who wait upon him, those that look for him, will not be put to shame. He's going to show up in your life. You can be assured of that. Waiting upon the Lord and being in faith go hand in hand. You can't say that you're in faith if you're not waiting upon the Lord. It don't mean just sitting there. No. You hear some people say waiting. Oh, no, you turn your hand up like a waiter and you serve. No, that's not what it means according to the Hebrew word kavah. No, it means to look for, intensely. I'm looking for him. I'm looking for Yahweh to do something, to move in my life. I'm looking. I'm straining to see him. And when we do that, he'll renew our strength. In other words, we'll sprout strength again. If you're weak right now, keep waiting on him. Keep looking for him. Keep expecting to see him in your life, and he'll renew your strength. Look at Luke chapter 22. He wants to. That's what I love about Yahweh. He looks to renew our strength. He looks to strengthen us. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon my. I used to say, man, wait broke the camel's back. Waiting is all right when you're waiting upon the Lord. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You ever heard that before, Dr. Hunter? Wait broke the camel's back.
Waiting
is a good thing. It's a good thing when you're waiting upon the Lord because he'll renew your strength. And I tell you, it gets hard sometimes. It gets difficult sometimes on this earth. Jesus says, he says, in this world we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I will overcome the world. See, we will have faith trials and tribulations and trouble. But that's all right. We'll get weary, some tired sometimes. You know what? But he says that when you wait upon him, when you look for him, when you look for Yahweh in your life, he's going to come and he's going to renew your strength. Look at Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, and let's look at verses 39 through 43. Luke 22, verses 39 through 43. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was seeing himself going to the cross, and you know this was a difficult thing. You know this was taking its toll on Yeshua, but he thought about, man, should I go through this should I go and endure all this pain? And you know what? But, you know, he was having second thoughts, He was going through. He knew what he was getting ready to face. And he was thinking about, hey, quitting and giving up. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. For the joy of it, he endured the cross. He went on. But look what it says in verse 43. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. What God is wanting us to see right here, that when you need strength, if you have to, he'll send an angel from heaven to strengthen you if you have to. Good God Almighty. Some of us have entertained angels unaware. If he have to, Yahweh will send a messenger, an angel from heaven to strengthen you.
Yes.
He's
yes.
the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's no respecter of persons. He sent an angel to strengthen Yeshua. An angel from heaven was sent to strengthen Yeshua because he was at a difficult moment in his life. If Yahweh has to send an angel from heaven to strengthen you, he will. Because, you know, angels are ministering spirits to the saints, you know. They are here to minister to us. Angels are ministering spirits to the saints, the scripture says. And they are here to minister to us. Have you ever fallen asleep for a couple of minutes, and boy, when you woke up, you were tired when you went to sleep. You dozed off, and when you woke up, have you ever did that, Dr. Hunter, and he felt like you were asleep for 8 hours? You see, he renewed your strength. Yahweh renewed your strength. You see, when you look for him, when you wait upon the Lord, he'll come, and he'll renew your strength. If you even have to send an angel from heaven to do it, he'll renew your strength. You'll gain your strength. Number two, when you wait upon the Lord, he'll raise you up. He'll promote you.
Amen.
He'll bring promotion in your life. Look at that.
Yes,
I love it, man. Just from this simple act of waiting on the Lord, he'll do these three things. He'll do these three things for you. I love the Lord. He's so powerful, but he gives us a simple principle to do. And if we do it, look at all this he does. Look at all what he does just for waiting upon him, just for looking for him in faith, an expectant attitude. We need to look for Yahweh to move and work and operate in our life in faith, not in doubt and unbelief. No, in faith, expecting him, having an expectant attitude. I'm going to see God today. You need to wake up every day and say, I'm going to see God today. I'm looking for him too. Neck stuck out like a goose. I'm looking for him. I'm going to see him move today. Not, I hope he'd move for me today. But no, he wants us to wake up with an expectant attitude to see him move, to see him in our lives today. That's what it means to wait upon the Lord. Kavah.
Amen.
That Hebrew word is kavah.
Kavah.
Number two. When we wait upon the Lord, he'll raise us up. Let's go back to the scripture. Isaiah chapter 40. He'll raise us up. He'll promote us. He'll raise us up. And I don't know about you, but you know what? I can go with some promotion. I like promotion. I can go with that. Look what he says in verse 31. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I like what it says in the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek Old Testament, because back in antiquity, back in ancient times, a lot of the Jews, they had lost the ability to communicate and to speak in the Hebrew language. That's where the Septuagint came on the scene. It was the Old Testament written in Greek. It was written in Greek. Those Jews who could no longer understand the Hebrew language could get the word of God. So that's where the Septuagint is old. It's thousands of years old. Yeshua, Yeshua, Jesus, he quoted from the Septuagint. He read the Septuagint, and also the apostles. The apostles read the Septuagint. And in the Septuagint, it says that that the eagles will grow new feathers. I love it. Will grow new feathers. In other words, get new feathers so that they can continue to fly higher. So they can fly higher. So in other words, Yeshua is saying that when you grow weak, I'll come and strengthen you. So to speak, I'll grow you new feathers. I'll grow you new feathers so you can continue to fly high and elevate. You know, eagles fly way higher than all the other birds. They fly higher than all the other birds. They fly high. They fly higher than the chicken. They fly high. So Yeshua is saying here, Yahweh is saying here, when you wait upon the Lord, you are what? Mount up. You will mount up. In other words, you will excel. That Hebrew word mount up, that Hebrew word mount up is Allah. It's Allah. Allah. And it means to go up. When you wait upon the Lord, Yahweh says, you'll go up. It means to ascend. It means to ascend. It means movement from a lower to a higher place. Allah. Allah means movement from a lower position to a higher position. Good God Almighty. So Yahweh is saying that when you wait upon the Lord, not only will he renew your strength, but he'll take you from a lower position, good God Almighty, to a higher position. From a lower position to a higher position. He will cause you to excel in life. He will exalt you. That word Allah, it means to exalt. He will exalt you. He'll raise you up. He'll cause you to ascend, go higher. He'll cause you to excel. He'll cause you to be exalted. He'll raise you up. When will he raise you up, child of God? When will he cause you, Allah, Allah, to mount up? Allah. Allah is the Hebrew word for mount up. Allah. When you wait upon the Lord, you will, Allah, mount up. When you wait upon the Lord, you will, Allah, mount up. You will ascend, no doubt about it. God's word will go forth and not go back to him, come back to him void. He will do exactly what he sent his word to do. When you wait upon him, when you look for him to move in your life, when you look for him, that's the key, not the things that he do for you. Look for him. Don't look for the houses. Look for him. Don't look for the health. Look for him. You'll get all that. It's like when you get the water, you don't have to look for the wet. Wet comes with the water. Glory to God. You look for him, you'll get all that other stuff. He wants us to look for him and be assured that we're going to see him. Look for him. Wait upon the Lord, and he will cause you to mount up. He'll cause you to Allah. He'll cause you to be exalted. He'll cause you to excel. He'll cause you to ascend. He'll cause you to ascend. And that's what he comes to do. God is so good, doctor. He's so good, those who are listening all around the world. He's so good. He's come to lift us up. Look at Psalm 3. Psalm 3 and verse 3. Look what Psalm 3 and verse 3 says. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. God Almighty. You see, he's the lifter up of our head. We didn't pull ourselves up by our own bootstrap. It's God that lifts us up. Any elevation that's taking place in our life, he did it. Yahweh did it. He's the lifter up of our head. He won't only lift up your head, he'll lift up your health. He won't even just lift up your health. He'll lift up your pocketbook too. He'll lift up your bank account. He'll lift up everything about you. All we have to do is wait upon him. Wait upon him. Look for him. Look for him intensely. Look for him and expect him to move and expect to see him in every day of your life. Look for him. Number one, when you wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. He'll renew your strength so you can go on. He'll renew your strength so you can last for the long haul. I don't know about you. I'm not in for the short run. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going all the way with Yahweh. I'm looking and I'm taking all the scriptures and writing them down. I'm getting them in my heart so I can work the principles of the Word of God. See, the Word of God will work when we work the Word.
Come on, man.
When we wait upon Him, He'll renew your strength. When we wait upon Him, we'll mount up like wings, like an eagle. We'll excel. We'll be exalted. And number three, my final point, number three, when we wait upon the Lord, He'll assist us. He'll assist us. That's what He'll do. He'll assist us, renewing our strength. That's Him assisting us. When He elevates us and exalts us and calls us to mount up, that's assisting us. He'll assist us. He'll give us a helping hand so we won't miss out on our harvest. He'll assist us. We need His assistance. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap our harvest if we faint not." Good God Almighty. He wants us to get our harvest, so what does He do? When we look for Him to move in our life, when we look for Him, He'll come and what? Assist us so we won't miss out on our harvest. See, folks think they're just going to get a harvest and they're just going to jump on the bandwagon. Everybody else is getting it, so I'm going to get mine. It's just right around the corner. No, no. Everybody, you just can't jump on the bandwagon. No, no, no. Mm. It's faith that pleases God. I don't know what, just because everybody's getting it don't mean that you're going to get it. No, don't deceive yourself like that. No, 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 no. You just can't hear the word, but the scripture says we must be what? Doers. Of the word. You're just not going to get on the bandwagon for free. Just because mama and daddy got it, sister and brother got it, your next door neighbor got it, that don't mean that it's coming to your house next. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You're deceiving yourself, and so God's bringing you this message tonight so you'll get out of that deception. He wants to open up your eyes and open up your mind to the word of God. No, no, that's something you have to do.
Amen.
Those that wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength. Those that look for Him, good God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Look for Him, not the things, not a handout. Look for Him. When you look for Him, you'll get the wetness. Just like when you get the water, the wetness come with it. Look for Him.
Look at that.
And He'll renew your strength. He'll cause you to be elevated. He'll exalt you. And number three, He'll assist you. He'll assist you. Look at Psalm 37, and this is my last scripture. Psalm 37. Wait upon the Lord. Psalm 37. And look at verse 24 says, though he fall, and that fall right there in the Hebrew, it's fail, though we fail. You know what, we all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. So we fail in some area of our life every now and then. But good, thank God for this scripture right here. He said that though we fail or though we fall, He shall not be utterly cast down. He shall not be ruined. Thank God for that. I've made some mistakes throughout my life, Dr. Hunter, that could have ruined me. That could have ruined me, but He kept me from being ruined. He kept me from being ruined, man. I made some bad choices in my life. I didn't mean it. Some of them I meant it, but some of them I didn't mean it. But they could have ruined me. But He says, though you fall, you shall not be utterly what? Ruined or destroyed. Why? Let's look at why. Why? For the Lord, Yahweh, good God Almighty, Yahweh, Yeshua, which His word, His name means He will deliver. He says, for the Lord, what, upholded him with His hand, good God Almighty. So I made some wrong choices, but I wasn't ruined. My life wasn't ruined or destroyed. Why come my life wasn't ruined or destroyed? Why? Because He upheld me. He upheld me with His hand. He held me up with His hand.
Why? Because I waited upon him. I looked for him. And he is not going to let me down. He's not going to let me down. He's going to assist me because I waited for him. I look for him every day. I look to you, Lord. I know that I'm an imperfect person, but I still got faith in you. I still love you. I'm waiting on you. I'm looking for you. And because of that, he kept me from being ruined because of my wrong choices, because of my wrong choices in life. Now, that word upholded, in the Hebrew is samach, and it means to prop up. Good God Almighty. I used to hear the old people say that. Go prop that up over there in the corner. To prop up, it means also to lean on, So we're not ruined because he's leaning on us. God Almighty. It means to lean on. When you wait upon the Lord, when you look for him and you fall, he'll what? He'll lean on you. He'll prop you up. He'll prop you up. He'll lean on you to keep you from being ruined, to keep you from falling any further. Good God Almighty. And that's what all takes place when you wait upon him. When you wait upon him, he'll renew your strength. When you wait upon him, he'll renew your strength. Number two, he'll raise you up. He'll raise you up. Allah. Allah means to mount up. Allah. Allah. I'm waiting on you, Lord, so I know that I'm going to, Allah, I'm going to mount up like wings of eagles. I'm going to mount up. And number three, he'll hold you up. He'll uphold. Uphold. That word uphold is samach in Hebrew. Samach. And it means to prop up. It means to prop up. It means to lean upon. It means to lean upon. Yeah, you're falling. You're falling back. You're falling back. But he catches you and leans upon you so you won't be ruined. He props you up with his hand. With his hand. He props you up. You're falling. You're falling. Oh, but he got you. He got you. He's leaning on you. He's leaning on you. Samach. Samach in Hebrew. Uphold. He's upholding you so you won't be ruined. Child of God, I just want to encourage you, wait upon him. Look for him every day with an expectant attitude, assured that you're going to see him. Wait upon him. He'll renew your strength. He'll elevate you. He'll promote you. And he'll assist you in life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody got it? Amen. Go right ahead.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Doctor.
Anybody got any statements or questions they want to say to Dr. Newsom? Any questions? Question in the background. A question? Amen.
Amen.
Well,
I guess I would say something. I have a comment. Just a personal. I can just really relate, and just that teaching is so refreshing, and something that. I just walk out daily in my Christian life is God renewing my strength. And he renews our strength each day. I just really relate to that. I just recall many times in my past just feeling weary, because of the weight of different responsibilities and actually just using that verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength in prayer, and asking the Lord, you promised that you would renew my strength, and Lord, I need help right now. And, I can just recall praying that prayer over and over again and actually seeing results, so much so that people would ask, Tracy, how are you doing all of this? And all I can tell them is, like, hey, it's God. I tell people it is God, you know, and I can't give credit to anyone but God. He will help you. He'll help carry your daily burden, your daily load. It's very practical, you know, women working, you're raising children and you're paying bills and you're keeping the car chain and you got to keep food on the table. You know, you get weary and you know, but God can give you that second. He can and he will. And I'm telling you personally, he has. And if he'll do it for you time and time again. That man that is faced with that responsibility of taking care of that family and feeding those mouths and then going to that job and facing what he has to face on that job and feeling crushed, God will renew your strength. And he'll make, you know, and I'm just telling you from personal experience, it really works. When you feel like you can't take another step, that's when you fall on your knees and claim those promises. Those promises are there to help you. And God will honor you. He'll honor his word.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So I really appreciate that teaching because that really hits home because that's something that I just depend on, that refreshing each and every day.
Amen. I'm listening. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
You know, that's really all I have to say about that. You know, he's there for the weary. He's there for those that feel like they just can't make it. They can't take another step. And there are a lot of people out there that sit on like everything is okay. But you don't have to wear a mask. You really don't. When you really know the Lord, you don't have to wear a mask. And amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, well, like I was saying, you don't have to wear a mask because, you know, God is there for you. He is he's there for us. He strengthens us. And I just really don't think people draw on the power that's available to them. They try to be self-sufficient and many times they're raised that way. You have to do it all. You have to do it all. But that will get you a stroke. That will get you an aneurysm. That will get you a heart attack.
Come on now.
You know, that'll drive you to drugs and drinking. And you know, but God is that living water and that well of that spring of water and that refreshing. He really is. And people,
yeah.
I don't know if they don't believe it or sometimes you just have to, it's really true, you have to taste and see.
That's how
good God is. You really have to taste and see. Many people just, they think you're just talking out the side of your neck. But until you get serious with God, you're not really going to experience what he's promising. Only those that are serious with God really, really get to experience the depth of God.
That's right.
And, you know, people ask me all the time, Tracy, how do you do it? Well, I'm a prayer warrior, and I pray daily. And it's not a fake. Yes, I have problems, but you can't see it. That's because I know where to leave my problems. And I leave them there, and I trust them. Like the pastor said, that the man of God, the people said, I can wait on God. I know how to wait on him. And I'm not bragging. I'm trying to encourage someone and help them to understand that it's real, it's true, and you don't have to do it by yourself. One of the keys to waiting on God is prayer.
That's right.
So you pray, you ask God to help you. You got to help. You got to ask him to help you. And he'll do it.
That's right. That's right. That's what
right.
King David.
Amen.
King David, I tell you, they were out to get King David. They were out to get him.
And then he said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh
my help.
Who made heaven and earth.
Amen.
We got to look for him. We got to look for him in every, and we got to look for him every day. Look for him. I
every
said,
day.
He'll do it for you.
Every day.
We'll do it for you. This is just not hype. It's not hype. It's real.
Amen. Well, my say something. I have a lady from New Jersey. It's going to come on the line with us. So pray for her right now. Sonia, are you listening? Sonia? Are you listening? Sonia. From New Jersey. Are you listening to us? You got a word for us? Well, I guess not. You know, I will say this much. I thank God for the word that God has given through Dr. Newsom, because it takes T-I-M-E in association with the W-R-D. And when you can say it takes time, it really takes time.
That's right.
And it takes time.
That's right.
And people are not going to see what God is doing. I've come to understand, no matter what people say or think about me, I'm moving on toward the goal. I love you.
Yep.
I love you. And I love you. Amen. And,
amen.
Sonia, are you there, Sonia? I asked her to call home tonight from New Jersey. Sonia, are you home? Well, one thing I will say tonight, to those of us who are listening, and your obedience and how you kept the reliance, and some people get on the radio because I got it tapped into something where I can see people now on the radio if I put the phone on. I say this, much work to be done. If you want to play church, don't come on the radio. Because we're not, I am not going to allow you to play church. I'm not going to allow you to put another person down. I'm not going to allow you to talk. I'm going to allow you to talk about what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And we have to understand, because we live in this time. We live in a time right now. But we got people saying, well, it's all right for my son to be where he is. No, he's not. It's all right for my daughter to do what she... No, it's not. You know that's not what you want to happen. You raised that child to the best that you could. And all of a sudden, they coming this way. They went flipped the wire and went this way. One went sideways. Then they got across the bridge. They broke it down. Come on, now. We're living in the last time. And the poor... There's a lot of noise on the radio. And there are times that I will say to people, obedience is better than sacrifice. And one thing I learned is the Bible says, Christ, he became obedient even unto death. So nobody on this radio is going to be obedient unto death. Ain't gonna be obedient. And we say that people don't love me because do you love yourself? Yes, I love myself. And that's the reason why. And that's the reason why I do what I do. I thank God for what God is doing. I praise God. I love God. I adore God. I adore God. And I thank God. And see, one of the things I thank God for. See, God is so good. God is so good. I think he wants to know what he would have us to be. Hello? Dr. Newsom, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Dr. Hunter. I tell you, you're right. You're right. It's time out for a bunch of mess. And that's what I like about that word to wait upon. It means you got to strain your mind through all the mess that's out there. You know, you got people playing games. You got people teaching false doctrine, stuff that's not even in the word, don't know what they're talking about. You got all that going on. But God says if you just keep pressing and straining through all that mess and stay focused on me and look for me, just like the sister said, minister said just a few minutes ago, through prayer, you know what, through prayer, look for him in the word and just look for him every day in the things that he do. I tell you, we can do without air, but we can't do without him. We need him. And I tell you, there's no promotion without him. Promotion comes from the Lord. There's no promotion from out here. I don't know what you got. You think you got something, you're deceived. If you didn't get it from the Lord, you ain't got nothing. Promotion comes from the Lord. I'm going to write about it. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. You're like a chicken. They're like a chicken. You're like a chicken with your head cut off. Don't know if you're going to come. You ain't got nothing without him. And I know that. And so everyone has to come to the realization that I need you, Yahweh. I need you. I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you.
And the important thing that I've come to understand, no matter what a person talk about me, they can't hurt me unless they take me to court about something.
That's it. They sure going to come after you, Doc. Dr. Hunter, they sure going to come after us. I tell you, man, right after service this Sunday, man, the enemy, I tell you, through people, they come after you, man. I mean, the higher you go, it is true. The higher the level, the bigger the devil. I tell you, it's true. But be of good courage. Be of good courage. I tell you, you're in a win-win situation, Dr. Hunter, and what you're doing is not in vain. I tell you, it's not in vain. God's going to reward you for what you're doing. He's going to help you. He's going to assist you along the way. You know,
amen.
But we're going to see those devils every now and then. They're going to pop up with their big heads, aren't they, Dr. Hunter?
They're going to do it. Let me hear from Dr. McClellan. Amen. Dr. McClellan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Doctor. Amen.
I tell you what, I'm truly enjoying this teaching tonight. It has been a blessing to me. I enjoy it. I just sit here and listen. I'm taking in all I can take in. I enjoy it. I truly enjoy the teaching. It's just blessing me. The more I receive, the better I feel.
Me too. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm just sitting here waiting on some more.
Amen.
I love it. I could just sit up in the kitchen all night. It's just helping me so much. I really enjoy it. And learning the Hebrew language, learning different aspects of God. I love it. I'm just sitting here listening, taking it all in. I haven't said a word.
Glory to God.
Man, there's some word, Dr. Newsom.
Yes, sir.
That is some word.
Glory to God.
That's some word. She says I want to learn more about Hebrew.
Amen. Oh, glory to God.
Praise the living God.
Amen. Glory to God.
And you know what? When God does a thing, He does it so good.
Yeah.
You know, I told everybody that I've been on the radio for a whole year believing God, and I'm here, and all I do is thank God.
Glory to
all
God. You're still going strong, Doctor.
Matter of fact, we had three more people want to come in and be a part of what's happening. All I'm doing is praying
and trust in God. I'm mm-hmm. not trying to be bigoted. I'm trying to be honest. I must be honest. And in your teaching today about, I want to, in other words, he wants, see, God wants to assist every one of us. I think that was your third point.
He wants to assist.
God wants to assist us. Well, tell us again, brother.
Assist. He says, behold, though you fall, you shall not be utterly destroyed or ruined. For the Lord upholded you with his righteous right hand. He upholded you. He holds mm-hmm. you up. And that Hebrew word for hold up is samach. Samach. And it means to prop up. He props us up. It means to lean upon. To lean upon. He leans up. Can you imagine Yahweh, God Almighty? He sees you to begin. You're beginning to fall, but he leans upon you to prop you up.
Yes,
he props us up.
He props us up.
He props us
God.
Up. That's the Hebrew. That's the Hebrew word. For, that's right. That's the Hebrew word for uphold. Uphold. He upholdeth us with his righteous right hand. He upholds us. Samach, it means to prop up. So you're talking about the creator of the universe. He see his child that's been waiting upon him, looking for him, begin to fall or make a wrong choice in life that could ruin them. And what did he come and do? He comes and leans upon us.
Not
to hold us up, to prop us
man,
up. He's done that many a time for me.
Amen. I think we got the
lady from
Yes. How many times? It looks like all the time he's there to lean on me. Because
he leans on
me. I said, oh, Lord, let me get back in the race.
Glory to God. Dr. Hunter, I was a backslidden preacher from Austin, Texas, went back to selling dope, came down here to Houston, Texas, over on Waco Street in a stolen vehicle to pick up dope and to take it back to Austin. A backslidden preacher. I was an associate pastor, but I had backslidden for about 3 years. Man, they were out to get me here, man. I messed off other people's dope and money here back in 1996. They were out to kill me, man. They were out to get me. But God had a calling and a purpose for my life. And he saw me making choices that could ruin me and destroy my life. He came and leaned upon me. I was still looking for, God, I need your help, Lord. I'm on the run. I need your help. And he leaned upon me. He propped me up. And today I'm pastoring a beautiful church family. June the 21st will be 16 years. I'm on TV over a capability over 5 million viewers right here in this area alone. I'm on the radio with Dr. Hunter. I mean, God is just moving in my life. He propped me up.
Because you
he
have a desire. You have a desire.
Yes, sir.
To please God. A desire to please God.
Yes, sir.
A desire to please God. That's what
yes.
I say. You must have a desire.
Anybody
yes, don't let me up. Amen. Amen. I hope I got the lady from New Jersey. Are you there, Sonia? Are you there, Sonia? Well, anyway, I want to say this to the listening audience. From the first of the month of March, I will be sending out some information that will be beneficial to those of you that are listening, who are going to be a part of it. And I thank God for those of you who are listening to me, those of you who know me and know that I'm a servant of the Most High God. See,
yes, sir.
If I can help you, I won't hurt you, but I won't let you hurt me. But if I can find where I can't help you, I'll do that. But I'm of the opinion the glove and the hand and the glove. They must work together. Because the glove can catch a hot rock. Our hand cannot catch a hot rock. It must be there for the glove to protect it.
Yes.
And once you get out, you must have an attitude, a positive attitude.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Hold on, everybody. Let's see. Sonia, are you on the radio?
Yes, I'm on here.
Sonia? Okay,
yes,
well, go ahead and speak to the people. Okay, go ahead and speak to the people. We've been waiting on you. Speak to us. Tell us what God has put on your heart.
Oh, I was on a little bit earlier. The word that was going forth earlier was right on time. That was a good word. Wait on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord.
That was a good word right there. You know,
let me ask you, you are in New Jersey right now. Tell us what's going on in New Jersey.
Waiting on the Lord. Amen.
Amen. That's a good thing.
Is wait on the Lord.
Yes.
Definitely need my strength renewed. I need to mount up. I need to be raised up. I need his assistance. I need him to uphold me. And the brother said, a shoe mark, huh? I need the shoe mark. I need it all. Like, you see, I was taking notes, don't you?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I'm looking for it. But you know what? Every day ain't going to be a sunny day. And see, in order for us to stay in the rain, we're going to have to wait on it.
Yes.
Okay? Because they'll hang around you now during the sunny days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, now.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll see who got with you when the day comes. And the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, brother,
That's right.
I had to say a new edition. Y'all got to sit down somewhere because we can stand the rain if we wait for the Lord, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I know.
Because, you know,
amen.
I had to add to the brother's word there. You know, when they was building those houses, when Jesus was telling the parable, they built the house on the rock and they built the house on the sand.
Right.
Now, both
right.
of them had a house, and those houses were standing up, but the rain came.
That's right.
Come on now.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
You ain't going to be able to wait on him or hold on to him or get renewed unless you're on that rock.
That's right.
I know that's right.
Absolutely.
And you know,
absolutely.
You can come to the rock at any time. You can come to him at any time. You can give
anytime.
Your life to Christ at any time. Don't matter
that's
how much
right.
money you got, or how much you got, or how little you got. It
that's
don't matter
right.
anything. You can come as you are
that's
and turn your life over to Jesus tonight. Anytime.
Come
on now, because if I start telling my testimony, folks will run in the closet.
Come on now.
Not out the closet, they'll run in the closet.
Tell it.
I was standing outside smoking a cigarette, and I just said, Lord, you know what? I'm tired of my life like this. And I think I smoked the whole pack up standing out there. But when I got through, I didn't smoke no more. I didn't cuss no more. I didn't fornicate no more. I didn't drink no more. I wasn't at no church, but it was an altar right there. Because that was confession going on, you know. And when I walked back in that warehouse from outside, I walked back in a brand new woman.
Yes.
My God.
Amen.
And I didn't
Hallelujah.
Make me new.
Hallelujah.
I didn't make me new. Mm-mm. He made me new.
Yes.
And you know what? When he makes you new, you don't be relapsing. You
oh,
don't
glory.
Go back. So we give him the glory tonight.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Those who wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be one of them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody else? Else?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Sonia, one of the things I will say to you
is that you're a woman of God.
Yes.
You're very quiet, but you're observant, and you're a listener.
Yes.
And you are seeing you face to face. Only met you over email, but I say this much. To God be the glory.
Yes.
To God be the glory.
Mm-hmm.
For the thing, yes, God.
Amen.
And I will say this to every woman out there listening what she said. This radio station is not here to hurt but to help. Can we give information for you? Sure, we can. Every one of us on here got a doctorate. Every one of us on here got a doctorate. Every one of us on here got a doctorate. If we're a doctor who, we're Dr. How, we're Dr. When, we're Dr. Why. When can we call on the name of Yeshua HaMashiach? When can we call on the name of God's only Son, Yeshua? Yeshua? Where are you? He said, I'm here listening.
Yes, he is.
And so we're living in these last days, and so much is happening.
Yes.
All I can do is, for people, if you ain't praying, you better start praying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You better pray for the East Coast and the West Coast. You better
pray
for the North, because the enemy has started his attack more now than ever. You take and look up in the Middle East. This man who's in power hate his own people, killing him. And then we got Russia backing him up. I said, you know what? But God wants us to stand the course. See?
Yes.
Who they really want to get involved into it is to get Israel, and they're going to make the biggest mistake of their lives. It's like I said this, Dr. Newsom.
Yes.
Do not mess with the one who holds the hand. Do not mess with Israel.
Don't mess with the Jews.
We are born into the body of Christ. I said, I just have much right as the Jews have. And I tell everybody, keep your hands off of Israel.
That's right.
And that's why I love what you said today. And it says in Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the help of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
He would not slumber nor sleep. For he that giveth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Yes, sir.
He will keep his eyes upon my right side when the sun is going to me, upon my left side when the moon come down. And God said, I will keep a watch on you from this time forth. So what have I got to worry about? If I'm trusting
in him. We ain't got
nothing
to worry about. Yes, sir.
I ain't got nothing, but just be obedient.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
And just
come
be
on.
Obedient.
Yes, sir.
See, when you be obedient.
Come on, man. I'm getting all excited all over again.
I know it. See, I know because when I begin to memorize a lot of scriptures, when God said, when God said, I will be there, when God said, I am who I am.
Come on.
Who are you, I am? Who is I am? I am. Wait a minute, Lord. Who is I am? Tell him I am sent you. Moses said,
come on.
He said, he's going to tell you, I am such a... Well, he said, and he said these words. He said, listen. He says, don't let the words that I've given you move from your mouth.
Yes, sir.
Meditate on them night and day.
Come on now.
And because it will strengthen you.
It will.
It will show you.
Sir.
It
yes,
will.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And see, hallelujah. And as I'm over in the... And to look into the Word of God, God says, look, he says, I will give you hind feet. Hind feet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look, somebody. He says, I will make your feet. He said, I will make your feet larger than your feet. We have to go with some meals in this life. We've got to speak to to them. We have to be able to climb them. Because you know what I was saying the other day? I was just meditating. The Lord said, sometimes you have to throw the rope to somebody that don't know how to hold on. We're going to teach people how to hold on to the Word of God.
Got to.
So we can fool them. Amen?
Amen. Amen. You know what, Dr. Hunter? I've been on the air. I'm telling the truth now. I've been on the air, and you know, from sometimes I have had challenges with my body, the enemy attacking my health. But as I'm on the air and speaking the Word of God and hearing the Word of God, healing rises up in me. Good God Almighty. I tell
That's
you.
Right.
In the
That's
Word,
right.
There's healing for our bones, healing for our navel. It heals our body. I tell you, with Yeshua's stripes, we are healed. And we need to pump as much word in us as we can.
As we can, all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
This is a good thing. You got the word that's steadily coming forth. We've been on it, steadily coming forth. It's a good thing. And I tell you, there's a lot of other things that we could be doing, but this is the better thing.
Amen.
It's the better thing. I heard him talk about back in the day when I knew I was out there doing my due. I was chasing everything but of God. I was drinking everything but holy wine. I was
like
smoking everything that was. I was there. But
were you drinking like a fish, doctor?
Yes, sir. Big time.
Doctor, were you drinking like a fish?
But God.
But God.
But God.
Oh, glory to God.
To those of you that are still listening, I want us to start off in prayer. Before we close the line up, Sonia, would you lead us in prayer? Sonia?
Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. You're so wonderful. So I'm gonna ask somebody this your last numbers are 4, 8, 4, 4, 9. Will you lead us in prayer?
Yes, Dr. Hunter, Sister Monica Hampton. Bring everybody into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come beneath the blood of Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father God, for the message that was delivered to us, Lord Jesus, that it got into our hearts. Our minds, our bodies, our souls, Father God. They'll never deviate from us, Father God. That we'll be able to teach our children and our children's children, Father God. Even, Father God, bearing generation curses in the prisons, Father God, in the jail cells and the crack houses. Even, Father God, we'll be sold out Christians, Lord Jesus, that our children can see our walk, Father God. We'll be people that have been married, Jesus, and no divorces, Lord Jesus. We will increase the marriage life inside the Christian world, inside the church world, Father God, instead of increasing in the divorces in the church houses, Father God. We come to you, dear Heavenly Father God, into blood, Jesus, thanking you for this gospel radio station, asking you, Father God, to breathe on it, Father God, breathe on it for wisdom, wisdom of relationships, wisdom with finances, wisdom with guidance, and Father God, wisdom, Lord Jesus, and every walk in the atmosphere that we deal with, Father God, every situation that we come in contact with, Lord Jesus, we want you to be there before we get there. We want you to be there while we're there. We want you to be there when we leave. In the name of Jesus, Father God, your grace and your mercy, your healing and your forgiveness are 180 in our lives, Jesus, spiritually, financially, socially, mentally, and academically. Teach us how to drown the pharaohs in our lives. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Somebody is taking one prayer.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this radio station broadcast that you are bringing forth, that you are birthing out. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done, Lord, in this. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will add to this radio program and to this vision those that you have assigned to uplift the arms of Dr. Hunter. In Jesus' name, I pray that they will come from the north. They will come from the south. They will come from the east. They will come from the west. They will assist, Lord, in bringing this vision forth, that the word of God may go to every nation, Lord, and
yes.
that it will usher in your soon return. Most High God, I pray that you will add to this radio station ministers, Most High God, that are equipped in the word of God, sincere, most of all, in the word of God, and that love you, that can bring forth your word with clarity, with accuracy, line upon line, precept upon precept, preaching the good word of the gospel. In Jesus' name, I pray for financial blessings, Lord, because it can't go forth without financial blessings. So I pray in Jesus' name that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out upon this ministry financial blessings, that they will not have room enough to receive it. I pray that they will be good stewards over the monies that you are sending. I pray that you would touch men and women's hearts that are stewards and able to give, that you move upon their hearts and they will be obedient and given to this ministry. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the hearers, that the word that has gone out tonight and that will continue to go forth will change lives, will call men and women unto the body of Christ, that the body of Christ will be added, more and more will be added to the kingdom of God as a result of the efforts of this radio program. In Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you continue to do. We lift you up. You are the theme. You are the purpose. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. To you be all the praise. In
yes.
the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I'd like for the person that 0198 is in the prayer. Last four letters of your cell phone, 0198. Would you lead us in prayer? Would you lead us in prayer? Your last four phone number, 0198. Would you lead us in prayer? Would you lead us in prayer? You got a prayer request? Do you have a prayer request? How about 5416? You got a prayer?
That's me. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. Toda roba, Yah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yahweh. You're the only true living God, and there's no other God besides you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for causing all things to work together for good for us who love you and are called according to your purpose. Thank you for Dr. Hunter, Father God. Thank you for the great work that you're doing in his life. Continue to support him spiritually, physically, financially, and socially, Father. In the name of Yeshua, bless him, Lord God. Let him live long and strong. Satisfy him with long life and divine health. Lord, give him the desires of his heart, Father God, in the name of Yeshua. Now, I thank you for all those who are listening, for all those who ministered tonight, for all those who prayed tonight, for all those who participated and listened in to your word tonight. Bless them, Lord God. Bless their socks off. Bless them big time. Bless them indeed, in
yes,
the
Lord.
Name of Yeshua. Stir up their hearts. Let us get hungrier, more hungry for you, for you. Let us get more hungry and excited for you. And in the name of Yeshua, now give them a great evening. Father God, let this be their best year ever.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Yeshua. And thank you, Father. In the
thank
name
you.
Of Yeshua.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you have done tonight. Dear Lord God, we want to thank you for what you're about to do, Father. We thank you for bringing us together in unity, dear Lord God. We thank you for the committed men and women who are carrying your word, dear Lord God. Lord, we give glory and honor to your name, Father. We thank you for all that you're doing. And, Father, as we come forth, dear Lord God, on the radio station, we pray and ask that you bless each and every one of us, dear Lord God. Lord, you know what we need, and, Lord, we thank you in advance for it. And, Father, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. We do pray, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Lady Sonia, are you still on there? Sonia?
Yes, I'm here.
We need us in a prayer?
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge you, Father, in all of our ways, and we give you the praise and the glory right now, God. Father, we trust you with all our heart. We lean not on our own understanding, Father God, and we just thank you that you direct our path this night and every night, oh God. And, Father, we just come boldly to the throne of grace asking for your help, your mercy in this time of need. Lord, we need your mercy. We need your help. And we just thank you that that we have this great mercy in your help. We thank you that you're always there to assist us, and we give you the praise for it, to uphold us, to shemak us. And we just give you the glory for it, Lord. We thank you that you are upholding, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, and we continue to wait upon you, O God. We expect you, Lord God. And, Father, we thank you that you're renewing our strength tonight. We thank you that you're mounting us up on wings like eagles. And, Father God, we give you the praise, Lord God,
yes,
that you, Lord God, will keep us,
yes,
from being ruined. And we just bless your name for that because, Lord God, we know that there are some wrong choices in our lives. And we,
yes,
thank you that you're about to turn around, that you'll turn around for our goodness. And, Father, we will definitely give you the glory. Father, we give you the praise for this word coming alive in our life tonight. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you continue to not let us forget it and that it won't be stolen from us, oh God. We bind every work of the enemy right now that he cannot steal this word from me or anyone else that has heard this word, that we have an ear to hear, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just thank you that you just give us the unction to function on this word tonight, that we can be doers of this word. Lord, help us to do your word. Help us to do your will. Help us, Lord God. And, Father God, we thank you that you are ever-present help in a time of need. So,
yes,
Father, we
you.
Give you the glory. We lean completely on you. We rely,
yes,
completely on you. And we just thank you that we can do that, oh God. And we give you the glory for it. And we praise you in Jesus' mighty holy name. We pray.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, the sustainer of all that there is. More because you sent Jesus Christ for all of my sins to be forgiven to what he's done. And it's because through him, he says no word can be spoken without the Father. And Father, before I make an attempt, I come to Jesus and ask you, Jesus, to let your blood wash me clean. Let my thoughts be clean. My actions be clean. Let my attitude be clean. That the blood of Jesus Christ will move forward right now. And because as you move up to the Father, we want to say, Father, we thank you for allowing us to come in your presence once again. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing for us. We come bowing down before you and say, yada, yada, yada. Yes. We thank you for Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for everything that you have done through us, by us, and for us. Some of us in the earth realm need your touch. We need your touch. We need your kohah. We need your leaning. We need your push. We need what you have, Holy Father. And we're not begging, we're asking. And you said in your word, you said, remind me of my word. Father, you said in the book, you said these words. the thoughts I have for you.
Yes.
I know the thoughts I have for you, Willie
yes.
Hunter. Lord, listen on the radio. My thoughts that you will be prosperous and have
yes.
a long, successful life. And we
yes.
bow before you and say thank you. Somebody
yes.
somewhere across these United States and around the world, somebody is hearing the voice of a true and living God. I want
yes.
to thank you for Tracy. I want to thank you for Dr. McClellan. I want to thank you for God. I want to thank you for the lady from New Jersey, Sonia.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, Father, the lady I want to thank you, Father,
yes,
for everything that you have done. Father, thank you for the first responders. Thank you for them. Thank you for making this radio station not what
thank
I desire, but what you want. My heart's desire is what you desire. I want us to just come before you with thanksgiving and praising
you
and loving you and adoring you because you gave your only begotten Son.
Yes,
he gave his life. Right now, he's on his way back. He says, prepare the way, I'm coming soon. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to have a revival here in Houston and in Houston like never before.
Yes.
I'm calling down the angels of fire on Houston. I'm calling the fire of the angels from above heaven. And I know, Father, you're hearing our prayer. We desire the righteousness. We desire your word. Father, we pray for the fivefold ministry. We pray for the apostles. We pray for the prophet. We pray for the teacher. We pray for the pastor. We pray for the evangelist. We pray that they will be filled according to your word with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And fire burns out unrighteousness. Fire burns up unrighteousness. And Father, it is because of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you said you would send the Holy Spirit. You sent him. He's here in the earth room with us. Somebody today is getting touched by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a teacher and a leader. I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
From the lowest cleft of my mouth, I said, thank you.
Thank you.
You have brought us. You brought us from a place of darkness into your marvelous light. You've allowed us to sit at the table of righteousness. You've allowed us to put on the robe of righteousness. You allowed us to speak. And Father, let the Abraham blessings she carosa fall upon us through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For you were it says,
you
I will never forsake you, nor for leave us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Holy Father.
Thank you.
And tonight we just cry with joy in our hearts, understanding in our hearts. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
It's you that have done it. We will now have a tooth to say we want, we ask in the Lord. Father, for we demand. We demand. Your word says to demand. Because if we're living in a righteous life, we must demand. Because you are a God who demands from us. You demand us to live right. We have to live right. Thank you, Father.
Thank you
for the teaching of Dr. Newsom. Thank you for the teaching. Thank you, Father, for Jason. Thank you for everything, Father. I want to say thank you. And as we go over our ways to touching thousands of people tonight, may their lives be changed. We will not see them in this hour, but there will come a time that we will, Father. And, Father, as we move to the next level, we say, Halei, 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 Halei. To the highest praises, we give it to
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you. Thank you for our wives. Thank you for the husband. Thank you for the husband to be. Thank you for the wives to be. Thank you for the mother to be. May they come under the symbol of the holiness of a true and living God.
Yes.
And Father, I still love you.
Love you.
I don't have nothing else to go with you because you've been so good to me. But it looked like I couldn't make it, Father. You were there not only for me, but for all my believers that are on the radio
Thank
station.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm still that Father. You won't forsake us. If we decide, if we even make an attempt, let us call one another, said God, said, don't do it. And we don't want to do it, Lord. We love you. I thank you once again.
Thank you,
Father. You would download money to this ministry where I can reach out and help and feed somebody and clothe somebody and book somebody. Help them to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And teach us, oh God. Teach us individually and collectively to love Almighty God. But we don't love him. The word says, he who has not had the Son does not have God. But he who has the Son has God also. And Father, we just want to thank you for your word. But this is your word, says. This is the confidence that individually and collectively we have. The confidence. This is the confidence. This is the facts. This is the assurance that we just depend upon your word. And you say in your words that because we trust you, we believe you, we know you're going to hear us, we know you're going to answer our prayer. And I want to thank you, Father. You're going to bless us, whatever need we have right now. It may not be here tomorrow, might be here next year, but we know it's coming. The revival has already started, Father. The revival has already started. The fire of the Holy Ghost has already started. The fire has started. The fire has started. Father, we take what lumber we have, we throw all our faith in on it to be a part. Father, I just believe that we will see blinded eyes open. Yes, ears unstopped. The limbs that are broken, they'll get up. And we'll see most of all men that don't know Yeshua HaMashiach will come and bow and say, Lord, will you have mercy upon me? Will you have mercy? And because they come, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because the men and women come before the living God.
Yes.
They realize that the government doesn't have the last answer. They realize that the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the name of Jesus Christ, who said, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. And then, Father, I want to thank you for yourself. I want to thank you, Father. Bless your own self. Bless yourself for who you are. Bless yourself. Bless yourself. Hallelujah. Bless your own self.
Hallelujah.
Because you're such a good God. Bless yourself.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And Father,
hallelujah.
When it's all, when the body that I now live in no longer breathes the air, I know that I will be in your presence. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
Amen. 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 And amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I say this to y'all. Remember my words. I love you. I love
you. Thank
you. I love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. So until the next time, may God bless you and keep you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless y'all.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.